All right. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Call's weekly media roundtable. I'm sitting in for Rose Aguilar, but the weekly media roundtable is when we speak with reporters about coverage of the week's news. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming next. And if you have a show idea for us, you can drop us a line at feedback@yourcallradio.org or call us at 866-798-8255. Or better yet, you can leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. So we just discussed the Pandora Papers, but now I want to turn to this issue of the devastating oil spill off the coast of Southern California. It happened last weekend, nearly a week ago now, more than 120,000 gallons and possibly more of oil leaking from a pipeline into the Pacific Ocean and beaches off of the coast of Orange County's Huntington Beach and now heading south from there. And this massive oil spill killed birds and fish, contaminated wetlands. It also devastated local economies, including the local fishing industry, and it's renewed calls for an end to offshore oil drilling. So we're going to talk about this, and we would love to have you join as well. If you have questions or comments about the oil spill, you can reach us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also send in questions to yourcall@kalw.org. Or go ahead and send us a message on Twitter. We're at Your Call Radio. But we're so pleased to be joined by Joe Mazingo, a projects reporter for the Los Angeles Times, who has experienced the impacts of this oil spill firsthand. So, Joe, it's so good to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Joe, as I mentioned, it'll be 1 week since we first heard about the oil spill, and it originated from a pipeline running from the port of Long Beach to an offshore platform called Ellie. And so before we just dive in and talk about the consequences, can you update us about what we know so far about why the spill even happened in the first place?
Yeah, it's something of a mystery. They think since the pandemic, the Port of Long Beach has had this huge backup of cargo ships that going way out in the ocean, all the way down to Newport Beach. And they believe one of those ships dropped its anchor and dragged the pipeline. Caused it to rupture. And I guess there's a 13-inch rupture in the pipeline. But the mystery is this might have happened, weeks or a month ago. And, the damage was done, but it didn't actually open until, Friday or whenever it actually opened. So they're trying to track, trying to find the ship that might have done this. It's still not exactly clear that this is what happened, but, that's all we've got right now.
So if I heard you correctly, it's possible this accident happened weeks ago, and has oil been spilling since then, or did the oil just rupture out of the pipeline maybe a week ago or so?
It sounds like it might have, some damage might have been done that weakened it, and that the final rupture did happen just a week ago.
And this has been a big story about all these tankers that haven't been able to come ashore. So is it true then that potentially because we're having this supply chain issue where tankers aren't able to offload their containers, is that potentially then one of the proximate causes here of rupturing the pipeline?
This hasn't been concluded yet. It's all a suspicion, but yes, absolutely. I mean, supposedly all these captains should have on their kind of online mapping, when they go to drop their anchor, it shows all the oil infrastructure, the sewage pipelines, communication pipelines, so this doesn't happen. But these things shift. Maybe their mapping was outdated. Nobody knows.
Wow.
Ships are out in a zone that they've never really been anchoring before. I mean, it's phenomenal when you look at it. They're just like all the way down the coast. It's these giant cargo ships.
Well, and it seems like this the anchors are a big cause of recent oil spills. I mean, one of the worst oil spills, I think it was in 1990 off the coast of Santa Barbara, was from a ship that punctured itself from its own anchor, and now you've got this anchor. So these ships are just essentially just dropping the anchor right down into the pipeline. Is that what's happening? And why does this seem so difficult for ships to figure out just where to drop their anchor?
I can't answer you on that. I mean, it's supposed to not, there's supposed to be safeguards that this does not happen. No. And if it indeed happened,
we'll have to get maybe we'll get in a tanker captain at some point to explain the mechanics of dropping anchor here, or at least why they can't do it without even puncturing their own hulls at certain points. But let's turn to the extent of the spill. So it sounds like as much as 144,000 gallons of oil has been gushing into the Catalina Channel off the coast of Southern California. So can you just explain what the latest is? Where is this oil now going? We've heard the spill is moving south. Can you talk about the extent of that as well?
Yeah, it's kind of been a weird situation because the very first, I mean, people really started hearing about this Sunday morning, maybe some people Saturday night. And there was already oil on the beach in Huntington, a little bit in Newport. And the ecologically, the worst damage was that it went into this marshland right south of, at the southern end of Huntington Beach. You know, those are really ecologically sensitive habitats for birds and fish and whatnot. So that was really contaminated. So, and then everyone was waiting. Oh my God, there's this whole huge slick, 13 square miles or something offshore that's just going to keep coming in. Well, it really hasn't that much. It's kind of been sitting offshore. It's broken up into two big chunks. One is down now towards San Clemente, going, towards San Diego County. The other's just kind of sitting off Newport. We have these Coast Guard boats with their big booms trying to corral them and keep them from coming in. I wrote a big story on how the Laguna Beach coast was threatened and a little bit of oil came on shore, just like golf ball size bits of tar. And what a disaster it would be if it hit Laguna just because of the incredible reefs and tide pools and kelp forests they have there, because it's all marine protected areas. But thankfully, so far, it hasn't actually happened. The worst hit is still kind of what happened Sunday. But you just never know. These currents could change. They could drive it in. Yesterday they were finding oil as far south as, I think, Del Mar, at least Carlsbad and Oceanside and northern San Diego County. So it's kind of just hovering out there, making everyone nervous.
Well, and I know that the Deepwater Horizon spill that happened in the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of that oil ended up actually sitting on the floor of the Gulf. Is that happening now to some extent, that the conditions might be worse, maybe not on the surface, but on the ocean floor? Or is most of this floating to the surface where maybe it could be corralled and potentially sopped up at least a bit?
I think it's still at the point where it's still on the surface. I mean, I think, eventually it starts to break down with the waves and sunlight and if I don't think they're using dispersants, but things like that. And keep in mind that while this is a big spill, it's nothing like that one. I mean, that was in the millions of gallons, if I remember. This is 144,000, which is definitely big, but it's not the same order of magnitude.
Yeah, as deep water. And you were there that day in Huntington Beach surfing the day after the leak first started. And you said you saw some strange behavior by dolphins. Can you talk a little bit about what you experienced personally?
So it was Saturday, my day off, I must add. I was surfing with my son and his friend in Bolsa Chica, which is a kind of north end of Huntington. And I couldn't get into Huntington because there was a Pacific Air Show, which is this huge event, with the Air Force Thunderbirds and the military planes and everything flying over. And it was an incredible event, but very noisy. And there was, thousands and thousands of boats, or hundreds and hundreds of boats, I should say, going from Long Beach down to Huntington to watch this air show. So it was very noisy. And, anyway, I didn't know about the oil spill. No one really did at this point. It's 10 in the morning. But when I was out in the water, these dolphins, and I always see dolphins there. They're usually just kind of swim by. Sometimes they'll ride the waves and go really fast. And, people don't think much of them other than that it's kind of cool to see them. But this time they were shooting through the lineup like I'd never seen before, and like right up to people, like kind of startling all these the surfers that were out there. And they were just racing north. It was just weird. I looked at the guy next to me and was like, God, I'd never seen that before. That was really strange. And when I got in, my son had already was on the beach when it happened. And he's like, man, that dolphin almost killed you. Anyway, I just kind of wrote it off as a weird thing. But then the other thing, I was smelling like tar at that time. But I was thinking it was the boat exhaust from all these boats. So I just wrote it off. And then the next morning I read about this oil spill and I start thinking about it. And I just started to wonder if these dolphins were like fleeing. First, I probably think they're still fleeing the boats and everything, but you kind of had to wonder if they knew something, because it was right near where that oil had come out of the pipeline.
Sure. Well, and they're really sensitive to changes in the ecosystem too. And I know you said it was your day off, but you ended up becoming, you know, a part of the story to some extent, or at least getting some unfortunate exposure to a very tragic story. Well, this is Your Calls Media Roundtable, and we're talking about the oil spill and the pipeline rupture off the coast of Southern California that happened last weekend and what the fallout might be. We're pleased to be joined by Joe Mazingo, who's a projects reporter for the Los Angeles Times. And we want to hear from you as well. If you have questions about the oil spill, what it might mean for California's political future, what it might mean for oil production in the state going forward, or thoughts about the impacts on wildlife and marine ecosystems, we want to hear from you. The number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also email us at yourcall@kalw.org, or we're on Twitter at yourcallradio. Well, Joe, let me ask about the impacts of the oil spill, not just on the marine ecosystem, but on the local economy down there. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily associate the coast of Southern California with a local fishing industry. It may be more famous for beaches and tourism, but this is definitely having a really negative impact on local fishing. It seems like it may take months to get things back to normal. So can you talk about impacts to, I should say, not just the local fishing industry, but really the local economy down there, people who rent out snorkel gear and fishing and other recreational and commercial activities off the coast? What have the impacts been?
Yeah, I mean, fishing is one. I mean, it's not probably the biggest. I mean, I think just tourism is the main hit here, because, you know, it's still warm right now. People still come to the beach. Huntington Beach is like 9 miles long. It's this huge beach that just is packed with people. There's two state beaches and a city beach. There's hotels. There's this, you know, commercial area right downtown on Main Street that's, you know, filled with surf shops and restaurants. And I mean, you know, people will still go to those places, but if you can't go, the beach is closed right now. So, you know, it's the main draw is closed. So that's going to hit those businesses that were already hammered by, you know, COVID for the last year or so. And then same thing with Newport Beach. Newport Beach does have a lot of fishing, you know, like charter fishing mostly. And there's whale watching boats, you know, and those harbors are closed for now. So the whole boating industry is also hit. And like what I wrote about in Laguna Beach is this kind of, you know, old artist colony that's become this huge tourist draw just because it has 35 of these really beautiful coves. Again, they're all closed, and that means all those really high-end restaurants, which there are many of in Laguna, the numerous hotels, all that is kind of shut down. And if it keeps moving down, I heard that Dana Point was the next city kind of shutting down. I don't know what'll happen, and they haven't shut down, you know, in San Diego and yet. But I think it's kind of it's kind of this waiting game. You know, if it's just this week, you know, it's probably not the worst. Not nearly as devastating as COVID was, but I think a lot of people that I talked to, even if we have dodged a bullet, not to say that we have by any means, they're worried about the next one. I mean, this could have been way worse. You know, I mean, if it was a ship, you know, Exxon Valdez kind of thing, it would drop millions of gallons, and these coastlines would have been completely destroyed for, you know, years, which would have completely gutted the economy. So I think a lot of people are now thinking about the future and realizing how close these rigs are. And
yeah, it's hard to cut you off, but it definitely is making it more apparent what the risks are. I just want to ask you real quick, because you talked about all these beaches closing down. How long do we anticipate these impacts are going to last? I mean, when we're talking about closing down beaches, are we getting any indication as to when they might reopen?
I haven't gotten any indication, you know, actually. I think the fact that San Diego isn't shutting down, it makes me think down there, they're not, Newport kind of shut down when just a little bit of tar kind of washed up, as did Laguna. And it's more just waiting for something to happen. I don't know if down in San Diego, they're thinking that, well, we're not going to do it until we have some major effects. because they don't want to hurt the economy. I would imagine if, you know, the oil doesn't come in a, any significant way more than it has already, that these beaches would start opening up. They'll probably keep the wetlands and those types of really sensitive places.
Well, let's talk about some of the politics here and some of the just the corporate structure here. So first, can you just tell listeners what's the facility that was shipping that oil through the pipeline, where it's located, and a little bit about the company?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on this, but so Shell Oil developed these oil fields in like the 70s. Then they built this platform. I think it started pumping. So there's an oil field called the Beta Oil Field off the Southern California coast, which has tons of oil, like, you know, all of Southern California, you know, on land had before it was pumped back in the 20s and throughout the 20th century. So this platform was processing oil from two nearby platforms. And it had been bought by Amplify Energy in Texas, which is a smaller company. And I think what I've heard from experts is a lot of these oil rigs have been, you know, have passed from major companies like Shell and Exxon to these smaller companies who have harder times maintaining them. They don't have the same money. I've heard that Exxon actually, after the Exxon Valdez, is actually pretty good at trying to maintain these because it was such a public relations disaster when that happened. So there's been a lot of regulatory problems with them maintaining these pipelines. And that's the fear, that these are now, you know, 40 years old and they're not putting the money into them that they need. And even if they are, you know, even if they're perfectly maintained, you could still just have an accident like a ship dropping an anchor on it. So it's a touchy situation.
Well, and I would wonder, you know, how strong a pipeline you would need to withstand an anchor being dropped from a big tanker ship. So, so that's a whole separate issue if it's even possible to fortify these pipelines, if it's just sort of an inherent risk of having this dangerous, chemical material out there in the ocean. I wanted to ask about some of the sequencing here of the leak, because an investigation has been launched about why it took the company 3 hours to report the leak. The LA Times reported that according to a preliminary investigation, an alarm went off in the company control room at 2:30 a.m. on Saturday, which signaled that a rupture could be spilling tens of thousands of gallons of crude oil into the Pacific. But then the company waited more than 3 hours to then shut down the pipeline. That didn't happen until 6:01 a.m. What can you tell us about what we're learning about this sequence of events here?
And I mean, not much more than that. They're not talking about why that decision was made. One of our reporters talked to someone who investigates these things and, you know, knows the infrastructure well, and said that one of the alarms that go off sends like a drop in pressure, basically, because obviously the oil is leaking out of the pipeline. But those pressure alarms can go off when there's not leaks, so that it wasn't completely clear whether they would have just automatically should have shut the pipeline down or not. That's an outside person who wasn't part of the situation. But, you know, once these investigations get going, and this is going to be millions and millions of dollars of liability, you know, people get tight-lipped as to why I think decisions were made.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of liability at stake here. I also want to ask about the Coast Guard's actions, because they didn't let the public know about the spill until Saturday afternoon. And the Coast Guard official at that point acknowledged the agency had been alerted to a sheen on the water Friday night by a good Samaritan, quote unquote, but they didn't do anything until later the next day. What is the story around that so far?
That's mystifying to me. I mean, I was surfing well after the oil. They knew about the oil spill, which is 4 miles away from me. The Pacific Air Show draws, I think, 500,000 people or more to the beach, right where that spill was headed. They let that go on all day Saturday. I don't know if they had calculated that it would take that long to get to land, or I just don't know. It's mystifying that they wouldn't have alerted at least the public officials that this was out there and probably coming in, given the nature of our wind comes directly, you know, it pushes this time of year, you know, to the southeast towards the coast.
Well, a lot of facts that need to come out here. We've got just a couple minutes left, but I want to go to a caller here. We have George in San Francisco calling in. So, George, welcome to your call.
Thank you. Apparently, your guest has actually spent some time on the water before and possibly during the current spill, and we were hoping we could get him to comment on the effects in the atmosphere. What was it like to inhale this petroleum product?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Joe, yeah, what was it like kind of as a first person there on the ground?
It's like inhaling exhaust, really. And I thought it was exhaust because there was so much exhaust the Saturday, because, like I said, there was an armada of boats right offshore. It's like just diesel exhaust. It's not the most pleasant smell when you're out. You think you have a nice fresh day on the beach.
Well, so definitely in addition to the ecological impacts and public health concerns as well. Thank you, George, for calling in with that question. Well, Joe, I wanted to ask you about Los Angeles Times, where you work. It has an impressive team of reporters and a strong environmental reporting team that seems to be growing. How are all of you trying to piece together what happened, and what should we be sort of staying tuned for that might be coming out of the LA Times on the coverage here?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing the full court press on it. We have reporters. I think like last year we had over 70 journalists working on this in one way or another. You know, people up and down the coast interviewing, you know, people for, you know, residents and what they've witnessed. People who we have now sources within the investigation, Coast Guard with the Coast Guard, and, you know, people flying over. So, yeah, it's I can't say what's coming because I just don't know, but we're covering it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm glad that you're able to dedicate the resources down there. You know, as part of the Media Roundtable, we want to talk about the inner workings of the media. But any other stories that you're covering on this specifically, or you're interested in following up on? This is our last question here.
Yeah, I'm really interested in basically how this affects, for me, just the marine life and these areas that are just so, I mean, like I said, Laguna, Dana Point, those areas just have such rich marine life. I really want to see how that plays out. So that's
all right. Well, we'll stay tuned for that. Joe Mazingo, projects reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's it for Your Call. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. And to listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. And you can also find us on, I said that twice, but you can also find us on iTunes, where you can give us a review, and you can follow us on Twitter at Your Call Radio and email show ideas and feedback to yourcall@kalw.org. Malihei Razazan produced today's show. Hartman is our chief engineer. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. Rose Aguilar will be back next week. I'm Ethan Elkind, and it's Your Call.